It takes someone special to break barriers, and today we begin a series of profiles of American pioneers. We'll start with Edward Perkins, the first black American ambassador to South Africa. He went there when whites still ruled the country through apartheid. Perkins had good reason to fear for his life and his reputation. To understand his achievement, it's worth remembering some very recent history and the politics of apartheid. Here's NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams.
In the mid-1980s, South Africa was in turmoil. Apartheid was still the law of the land. Whites were just a fraction of the population but owned 90% of the land, and the government, led by President P.W. Botha, was on the verge of a bloody civil war with Nelson Mandela's African National Congress. Each day brought news of more violence.
Two bomb explosions damaged the ANC's Harare office and totally leveled a private home in a suburb.
There are fears clashes could erupt as the resistance movement members attempt to take over.
Immediately after the raid yesterday, the Secretary General seemed to write off any prospect of a negotiated settlement in South Africa when he said Pretoria...
Nelson Mandela remained in jail, and musicians like South Africa's Hugh Masekela gave voice to a spirit of rebellion.
Bring back Nelson Mandela, bring him back home to Soweto.
Meanwhile, Archbishop Desmond Tutu and other black South Africans asked corporations and governments worldwide to pressure the white South African government to end apartheid. In Washington, President Reagan resisted using economic sanctions. His administration preferred what it called constructive engagement. Here is President Reagan in the summer of 1986.
South Africa is a complex and diverse society in a state of transition. I urge the Congress and the countries of Western Europe to resist this emotional clamor for punitive sanctions.
20 years after the height of the American Civil Rights Movement, South Africa's freedom struggle struck a chord of memory and pain in the American mind. In 1986, the Reagan White House was already at odds with U.S. civil rights leaders over its affirmative action and domestic social policy. That same year, the administration made a surprising move. Secretary of State George Shultz put in a call to Edward Perkins, a career diplomat.
He said, "There are people around the president who believe that it's time to send a black ambassador." He said, "but not necessarily for the right reasons."
Shultz asked Perkins to consider taking the job. He said, "take a day or so to think about it."
"But the only person that you can talk to is your wife. This assignment is so controversial. We don't want the press to get a hold of it. So you can't talk about it." My wife was the one who immediately said it. "You took an oath of office to go where needed when needed. So how can you say anything but, yes, I'll go?"
Edward Perkins was born in 1928 in segregated Louisiana, a child of a community of cotton fields. His way out first took him to schools in Portland, Oregon, and then into the military. In 1972, he joined the elite and very white Foreign Service and consistently found himself posted overseas in black Africa. Now nearing age 60, he feared he was being used as a black face to mask the Reagan administration's refusal to get tough with South Africa. Perkins met President Reagan in the Oval Office.
And I said the black population of South Africa looked upon him as being anti-black, and that they couldn't look upon him as being someone who looked with favor on people attempting to see themselves emerging as equal citizens to the whites. And then finally he said, "What do you think black Americans will think of you for taking that job from me?" He said, "Well, they won't like it."
President Reagan offered him the job. Jesse Jackson said Perkins' role was like a Jew carrying messages between a reactionary administration and Hitler. Perkins agreed to a meeting with Jackson at the State Department.
All the TV cameras were set up outside, and Reverend Jackson paused to make sure the cameras got the right angle for both of us. And Reverend Jackson came in, and he said, "Mr. Ambassador, I've come here to ask you not to go to South Africa." He said, "Why should you allow this racist president to be the president that appoints the first black American to be ambassador to South Africa?" He said, "You know, they may kill you down there." I said, that is crossed my mind, actually.
Perkins reported for duty in South Africa in 1987. On Thanksgiving Day, he met with President Botha for the first time. A large crowd of black South Africans came to watch in disbelief as a black arrived at the president's office to present his American diplomatic credentials.
And I was instructed by the chief of protocol to take the appropriate number of steps up the steps. And then P.W. Botha, flanked by two of his aides, came down to the step just above me. Boyta always tried to position himself in such a way that the incoming ambassador would have to look up at him. Well, the president's aides didn't know how tall I am, and so we ended up looking straight at each other, right into each other's eyes.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'2", and I could tell that he didn't intend to avert his eyes from mine, and I didn't intend to avert mine either. And then when I handed him the letter of credence, he had to look down to take it, so he lost the battle that day.
Perkins told President Botha that he planned to travel around the country to meet with as many people as possible.
Then he stopped me, and he stuck his finger in my face, and he said, "Listen, I've heard about you. I don't want you getting involved in our affairs. You understand?" Then I said, "Well, Mr. President, I'm here as a representative of the American people to the people of South Africa." He said, "You didn't hear me, did you?" And he stuck his finger in my face again. And by this time, he was kind of shaking. He was so angry. Well, the president and I were never to have a civil conversation during my entire time there.
Perkins kept his promise and did visit South Africa's poor black townships.
The South African government suggested that I have bodyguards, and I politely refused. And they trailed me.
Do you think that they were protecting you or spying on you?
What do you think? They were spying on me, and they were looking for ways to thwart any effectiveness that I might have had.
Ambassador Perkins served in South Africa for 3 years. He returned to the U.S. just as Botha's successor, William de Klerk, began to dismantle apartheid, lifting the ban on the ANC and freeing Nelson Mandela. In 1989, Perkins agreed to take on yet another challenge. The Bush administration asked him to become the first black director general of the entire U.S. Foreign Service. Edward Perkins now heads the International Program Center at the University of Oklahoma. Perkins' new memoir is titled Mr. Ambassador, Warrior for Peace. Juan Williams, NPR News, Washington.
And you can read more about Ambassador Perkins' experiences in South Africa by going to our website, npr.org. Juan will have more profiles of American pioneers in the coming weeks.